Hey everyone, welcome to the Future Proof Podcast. We're Future Proof Games. We're a two-person game development studio, and we talk roughly every couple months about what we're working on, stuff we're thinking about, stuff we're planning. I'm Gregory.
And I'm Melissa. And we want to talk a little bit about how we stream games.
Yeah, like not the logistics of the tech we use, but like, how do we pick a thing? And yeah. You streamed just Saturday, right, Lissa?
I did. Had a hard pivot in the middle of it.
Yes. So, do you want to tell the big story?
Yeah, so I guess to back it up a little bit further even, a couple of times a month, roughly, mm-hmm. we alternate streaming an indie game that we think is in line with our values or game design principles or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I picked Pentiment because it seemed interesting and I thought I'd heard it was doing some things that might be of interest to us.
And it's by Obsidian Software. Obsidian is the game development studio. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're like, yeah, they're a good indie studio. They made Fallout New Vegas.
Yeah. And so I start streaming and Greg, bless their soul, is like, oh, hey, Obsidian is just Microsoft now.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, we always, like, I try to, like, pull up the game's wiki page just so that mm-hmm. I know this, you know, I can pull any credit information. I'm like, oh, right. Microsoft bought Obsidian, like, 5 years ago or something at this point.
Yep.
And Microsoft is on the BDS movement list of companies to boycott.
Right. And I've heard the term BDS for obviously the last mumble something years. And at some point, someone probably said what all of those letters mean, but it is mm-hmm. the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement. Yeah. And they are particularly interested in groups that are and companies that are supporting Israel against Palestine.
Yeah.
And Microsoft provides Azure cloud services. Their AI services have been used by the Israeli government to perpetuate the genocide.
Yeah, if you haven't been keeping up with that, basically Israel is a country in the Middle East. They are an apartheid state, which means that Palestinian people, which are people that lived in the place we now call Israel in around 1920, you know, descendants of those people are treated differently than everyone else. And by differently, I mean they are murdered, you know, families, children, starved, having their homes destroyed or stolen, etc. It's really awful stuff. And part of ending this genocide is going to be similar to what happened in South Africa's anti-apartheid movement, which is boycotting companies which support it, helping to reduce the amount of you know, funding and support that goes into this effort. And so we don't want to support any games that are made by Microsoft or Xbox Studios, which is a lot of them, and this was one of them.
A lot. Yeah. Yep.
And they specifically asked, don't stream them.
Right. Yes. And so it just completely slipped through my filter, because that's not the branding on the tin. And so we pivoted.
We didn't actually hit start game, right? We were like on the main menu.
Correct. I had in my testing because I had to make sure it streamed well, but that's correct. We were on the main menu describing things. And so I pivoted to a delightful game, which I do recommend. And as far as I am aware, is not under boycott, called The Garden Path. That is a very chill and also sometimes very stressful little gardening game.
That seems like a game for people who thought Animal Crossing explained itself too well. That's sort of the vibe. It's like very like mysterious and cryptic, and you're meeting friends and gardening plants and building things, decorating.
It's a very slow-paced game. It's a very slow-paced game in some ways. So anyway, but we thought it would be interesting to talk about, like, how do we pick streaming games? How do we filter out ones, even when it's not a huge boycott against genocide? Like, how do we, you know, there are lots of games we want to play. Our backlog is bigger than our four log will ever be. So how do we not just play, you know, Doom 2016 on a future-proof play stream?
Yeah, and I mean, the really short way to put the story is it's vibes based. But generally, I think the way we generally put it is we want games that are in line with our values. And that can be a complicated conversation. Not between us. I think that we very seldom disagree on whether a game is our sort of game. But like in general, talking about games that are not evil, or even games that are in line with your values can often become like, let's find games that don't have anything bad in them. Sometimes people interpret, although I don't think the wholesome games group does this, I think some people hear wholesome games, for example, and go, oh, you mean games without sex or violence or anything challenging, you know, games you can show your kids. And that's not what we're looking for.
Right. Same with cozy game and wholesome games are getting getting a bad rap at the moment from certain crew.
And we love a cozy game. We love a wholesome game. But we also like games which are kind of life-affirming, but exploring hard shit. Like, we've done horror games, we've done games that have depictions of sexual assault in them, in you know, tasteful and meaningful ways. I was gonna say we don't make edgy games, but I guess that a lot of the political things in our games can be a little controversial. We're abolitionist, for example, regarding cops and prison.
It depends on this has to be in relation to how fascist your government is, right?
Yeah. and let's be clear, the US super fascist right now. We are also trying to stop the United States from carrying out a genocide. So things are rough out there. But I think generally we want games that, let's see, they're thoughtful. That are saying something, you know, something. Sometimes the thing they're saying is family is good, or isn't it nice to make friends with animals? But you know, they have some sort of center to them that is philosophical or moral, and also we want games that like we can play for an hour and a half and have it be interesting.
This is true. Yeah. There are definitely some of my, I use Play Night to sort of sort my games, and I have a bucket that's great. Like plan Play to play. Great. Play Night is amazing. My only wish is that it existed off of my sole desktop machine, but I have a bucket that's like plan to play. And these are like out of all of the million games in my backlog, what's the high intent games? Some of those are just not streamable. Some of those are like, we're just going to mosey around, you know, in a space and not have anything to talk about for 90 minutes, so it doesn't make the cut. But I think that there is an additional complication with our selection of games, which is that we don't pre-play the games. We are coming in sight unseen. So we are judging, attempting to assess, like, is this game going to, like, laugh at survivors of XYZ, right? Like, you know, we're trying to like pick games that seem to have a good heart. And then sometimes you get on stream and you get partway through a game and you might go, I don't like what this is saying, or I don't like this politics, or something like that. And you got to decide what to do on the fly. So sometimes it still catches up.
Yeah. I can be prone to improper scrupulosity, like trying to make sure that I'm 100% good at everything I do. So I try not to over-check and over-police the sort of games I stream. But I generally will like look at the studio's Blue Sky profile, right? And just see, like, have they been tweeting complaining about women? I will usually Google the developer or the game and controversy. and then I think checking like comments and like content warnings on the game, where you can usually tell, like, you know, if a game is like, this contains a whole lot of gore and nudity, and we're probably not going to stream it, not because it's bad, but because it's not in line with a lot of the other stuff. And so people who come to our stream like would expect a certain kind of game that we're doing, and so we're not going to do like, you know, like you said, Doom 2016. Even if it weren't under boycott, we probably wouldn't do it just because it's not the sort of game we stream.
Yeah. But we have done, you know, we've played Indica, for instance. Mm-hmm. There was, is it called The Missing? The one that you streamed just a couple months ago? Oh, yeah,
that one is about a, like, its central kind of crisis is the death of a child.
Yeah. Of course, you know, there's an interesting sort of divide, and I think movies have this too, of like, once something is a classic, you no longer judge it by the same standards. Yeah. So we played What Remains of Edith Finch, and by we, I mean me, and I remain scarred by that game. And there's a lot of pretty traumatic death in that game, in ways that are unpleasant.
I'd say child neglect going on there as well.
At a minimum. And so I think we are able to explore those ideas, even if that was one I wish I had, I wish I hadn't gone in quite so sight unseen.
Yeah. But notably, like, that's a one where kind of the hazard there is, oh, am I going to cry in front of chat? Not like, you know, there's nothing in Edith Finch, I think. I mean, we can discuss whether it handles its topic well, but like, it's not handling gratuitously in the sense of like, you don't see limbs flying or anything like that in that game.
Yeah.
There's some troubling fish stuff later on, but
yeah, the fish stuff is troubling.
Yeah. And so it's an ongoing conversation for us on like, not an active one. I don't think that we're like, hey, do we need to revise our standards? Although, do we need to revise our standards? Do you think we're doing good?
I think we're generally doing okay. I think we currently have kind of a struggle with the amount of energy we have as people.
Yes.
And the amount of performance involved in streaming. And I think it is harder to take on a more challenging game on stream if you are exhausted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are we going to play horses? You know what I mean? Like,
probably not. That seems pretty bleak. and then like one something that I often say either to myself or to you is this game looks like it has a lot of dialogue in it and it is not voiced.
Yes.
Because I think both of us really like to read the dialogue and text that's important on screen aloud, just because that's part of streaming. People like it and it's easier to follow if you're, you know, viewing in a small window. But like, if it's all unvoiced dialogue, I can't talk that long.
Yeah. I have a game I would love to stream, but oh my god, there's so much text. And I just don't think I could do it.
Yeah, so like, Device 6 is getting release on PC. I think that would be an amazing game to stream, but it is, a screenshot of that game looks like a page of a novel. It is not tenable. You know, we're not going to do Fallen London. It's just too, not, you know, we need some amount of visual stuff. But for future-proof plays?
No, not for future-proof, no.
But yeah, that's sort of what we're thinking about when we think about a game we're doing. It might have happened by the time this episode comes out. I don't know. It depends on how our schedules line up. But my next stream that I'm planning on doing is a little bit unusual. I'm planning on doing the games in Game Poems number 1, which is a literary magazine, I guess, that I'm on the editorial collective for, organized by Jordan Magnuson, who's a great indie dev and academic. And so I'm going to be doing, actually, possibly some games that are in that category of in line with our values, but kind of hard, kind of tricky to look at sometimes or to read. So, but I'm looking forward to doing that. I'm not going to be playing my own game. But I'll be playing the rest of them that are in the magazine.
You can switch to me and I'll play your game. Although I was a playtester, so.
Yeah. So we wouldn't be able to do a first playthrough of it.
Yeah.
So if you've ever been curious about how that process works, that's how we go about it.
Yeah. And if you have any ideas for games we should play, we try to keep an ear to the ground on things that are coming out and things that are in our backlogs. I'm still playing games from the itch.io 2020 bundles, 2021 bundles. But I know that there are indie classics that I haven't played yet that might be good for streaming. And it's been a long time since I did that run of Virginia and Norfolk Suite and all of those, or whatever that one was, Norwood. So if you have ideas of games we should stream, we should play, including if you are the creator of said game, reach out to us on social media or info@futureproofgames.com, or either of us individually in our respective social media places. We are interested in playing games. So, yeah.
Yeah. But beyond that, one of the reasons why we chatted about that on this episode is that we don't have a lot of news to share. We're working on a whole lot of stuff behind the scenes at Futureproof Games. So we're upgrading internal tools, switching from a very old version of Ember to a modern version of React, right? You ended up using?
Oh, this was from Meteor to
Oh, Meteor, React. That's right. Yes.
Yeah. Which, that'll take you back.
Yeah. I liked Meteor. It's just not, it feels old-fashioned at this point and is a pain to work with in modern times.
Yeah.
We're working on reinforcing some of our security. You're working hard on taxes for the year.
Yeah. And then EZD, Expo Zero Day, is getting some visual redesign of system pages and internal things like that. And then we're also doing some writing. We've got writing to do on Headless Swarm. So we're churning over here on a bunch of different things. There's just nothing to say like, go look at this right now.
We're excited and maybe even desperate to be able to share cool, visible stuff with you. But sometime soon, hopefully.
Yeah.
And if you have any questions, you know, if you want us to hear us talk about stuff on this podcast, absolutely feel free to reach out to us. We don't get a lot of feedback, so we're kind of just riffing it here. So feel free to let us know what you think. You can find all of our news and games at futureproofgames.com. You can find us on Blue Sky as, again, futureproofgames.com. We're on Mastodon as fpg@mastodon.gamedev.place. And our YouTube channel is called Future Proof Games. You can give us questions or comments on our blog or on social media. And our theme music is Juparo by Broke for Free, which is used with permission.